Music from Uday Bavalkar, ending World Roots. It was introduced by Lucy Duran and produced by Roger Short. This is BBC Radio 3, it's 11:15. Time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello, you're listening to Jeanette Mason and Dina DeRose in concert at the recent Steinway Piano Festival. We bring you highlights of their set this week, and staying on the piano theme,
it connects to a life force that we really believe is a healthy and beautiful thing. And on top of that feeling, you can aspire to be Mozart or whoever you want.
The voice of Alan Broadbent making a rare appearance to the UK, and Kevin Ajomra talks to him a little later. All of this on this week's Jazz Lineup. For 35 years, guitarist Mitch Dalton has played with many of the greatest jazz musicians in the world and has become a much-revered session guitarist. His list of jazz credits is endless, including such giants as Ella Fitzgerald, Peggy Lee and Wayne Shorter, all on his CV. Well, his new group, the Studio Kings, are three close friends who are also top session musicians. Dave Arch plays keyboards, Steve Pierce is on bass, and Ian Thomas is on the drums. Here's Mitch's nod towards Wes Montgomery with his self-penned Wes.
Thank you.
Wes, written and played by Mitch Dalton on guitar, Dave Arch on keyboards, Steve Pierce on bass, Ian Thomas on the drums, and guest percussionist Frank Ricotti. That's taken from the new CD out now on the Regis record label called Meet Mitch Dalton and the Studio Kings. In this day and age of the star jazz musician, the idea that three individual stars would merge to form a trio may be something that you wouldn't necessarily imagine could happen and succeed. Fly, who are bassist Larry Grenadier, drummer Jeff Ballard, and tenor saxophonist Mark Turner, have all very distinctive and highly successful musical careers, performing with such heavyweights as Chick Corea, Brad Meldow, Pat Metheny, and Joshua Redman, to name but a few. Well, they've joined together as a tour de force with an aim to bring together many musical elements, traditions, histories, and mysteries, says saxophonist Mark Turner. The trio started out by playing gigs in New York, which they then extended into a tour of Italy. With a strong connection on and off the stage, the trio Fly was born. So here's a track taken from their second and newest release on ECM called Year of the Snake. And this track's called Festival Time. One of the great contemporary jazz small groups in the world today. That was Festival Tune and Fly, who are Mark Turner on tenor sax, Larry Grenadier on bass, and drummer Jeff Ballard. And that CD, Year of the Snake, is out now on the ECM label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. When pianist Alan Broadbent made a rare appearance in this country at the Watermill Jazz in Dorking, Jazz Lineup asked Kevin Ajonra to attend the gig. New Zealand pianist Alan Broadbent was on an exclusive UK tour, which also took in the Bull's Head at Barnes. A member of the Woody Herman Orchestra for 3 years, from 1969, as well as working with Nelson Riddle and Henry Mancini, Alan has been a long-standing member of the quartet of American bassist Charlie Hayden. And Kevin Legendre began by asking Alan to name his European trio.
That's Phil Steen, or Steen, but he prefers Steen, and Kai Busenius. And they're world-class musicians.
Touring Europe, it says a lot about jazz as an international language.
Oh, you're absolutely right. But more than a language, Kevin, I have to emphasize it's that feeling. You know, it's different than fusion and all other kinds of music. It's that feeling of swinging. So it connects to a life force that we really believe is a healthy and beautiful thing. And on top of that feeling, you can aspire to be Mozart or whoever you want.
So most people in the UK will know you through your work with Charlie Hayden's Quartet West, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, and also the arranging work that you've done with a whole host of people, from Nelson Riddle to Shirley Horn. What do you actually like about the trio format?
Well, arranging for me, I love the orchestra. I just love the orchestra. I'm still learning how to write for it. And trio jazz, or jazz in general for me, is about the improvisation, of course. But that feeling of having this little form, it's not a sonata form or allegro, whatever. It's a tune, you know, 32 bars. And that I can be as free with that as I feel.
Tell me about, if we go back, if we reach back in time, tell me about your work with the great Woody Herman, which I believe goes back to, what, the late 60s?
Man, yes. I was about 8 years old. I was very precocious on the band. I was going to Berklee, what was then Berklee School of Music in Boston. And but I used to work every night. I had a trio. And a couple of guys came in. Jake Hanna was the drummer, and Nat Pierce, the pianist, who were old buddies of Woody, and they had heard about me from Berklee School and came down to hear me. And so I joined Woody. At about the time, there was a great kind of jazz rock, that just the end of that period where both words weren't really so negative. But the group was called Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And
of Spinning Wheel fame.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. And so I wrote, you know, because the band was just, we were just doing awful gigs, military bases and Elks Club dance things. And a couple of us young guys got together and decided we'd write some new charts for Woody. And Smiling Phases was what I chose, and a couple others, because they had a nice transition between the big band and the kind of rock music that kids were listening to at that time. So we just sort of fell into that, and Woody liked it, because when we'd do a prom or something, all the kids would gather around like the old days.
One of the things about Quartet West, Charlie Hayden's group, which I mentioned at the top of the conversation, which a lot of people will know you for, is the subtlety and the finesse of some of the voicings and the use of colours and space. It's a very rich sound, but it's not overpowering.
No, well, that's Charlie's vision, too. We did an album last year called Sophisticated Ladies that some people might know, and we had... what, half a dozen of the best divas in jazz, including one classical one, Renee Fleming. And I basically said to myself, yeah, Charlie, yeah, good luck. Yeah, I'm with you, I'll do it, but good luck. Well, he did it. This is Charlie's force of nature. He got them to sing the songs he wanted on the album.
The sighing boughs against the sky, the night bird singing to his mate nearby, they supplied the sweet harmony of a love song.
You're from New Zealand. Was it essential for you to leave New Zealand to pursue the career that you wanted to as a jazz musician?
In 1961, I heard my first jazz. A friend of mine took me to hear Dave Brubeck, who was doing a world tour at that time, and he came to Auckland. And I couldn't believe it. As soon as Paul Desmond played, I knew that he was doing something to me that I'd never heard before in music. And I understood the song because my dad's sheet music and stuff, I had played it. But I didn't know you could do that with music like that. And it became something to pursue as to how to get this feeling. And luckily there were some older musicians in Auckland that I managed to work with, and they whipped me into shape. And I got on a boat. 32 days later, I arrived in New York and worked my way up to Boston. My wonderful teacher, Lenny Tristano, said, if I don't use that energy, that energy that enables you to create with this feeling, it'll work against you. After I left Woody, I swore I'd never let the piano side of me go again.
Thank you.
Charlie Hayden's Quartet West from the double CD, The Private Collection, and that track, Charlie Parker's Segment. Alan Broadbent on the piano and Charlie Hayden on the bass. Alan Broadbent was talking to Kevin Legendre, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. Pianist-composer Michael Garrick's boundless energy and enthusiasm for music placed him at the forefront of UK jazz from the 1960s until his sad death in November 2011. The last album he recorded in the summer of 2011 is called Home Thoughts, and we thought we'd play a track from it now to continue remembering such a great innovator and friend to Jazz Lineup. On Home Thoughts, Michael explores the work of some of the great poets, composing to the lines of Shakespeare, Browning and Blake, alongside his own poetry. The lineup on the album is Michael, of course, on piano, Matt Ridley on bass, Chris Nichols on drums, Tony Woods on reeds, and a great vocalist I've just discovered, Nettie Robinson, who does a terrific job on some difficult melody lines. This is the track Home Thoughts from Abroad.
To be in England lowest boughs and the brushwood sheaf, round the elm tree bole are in tiny leaf, while the chaffinch sings on the orchard bough. Think he never could recapture the first fine careless rapture. And though the fields are rough with hoary dew, all will be gay when noontide wakes anew. The buttercups, the little children's tower, far brighter than this gaudy melon flower.
Out now on the Jazz Academy label, that was the track Home Thoughts from Abroad, beautifully sung and played by the Michael Garrick Lyric Ensemble. Well, a bit of great jazz news now. The 57th Ivor Novello Award ceremony, arranged by BASCA, British Academy of Songwriters, Composers and Authors, in association with PRS for Music, was held on Thursday, May the 17th. There was a completely new category this year, the Ivor's Jazz Award. This first award was made to Stan Tracy CBE. The Ivor Novello Awards are voted for by the members of the Academy and aim to celebrate, honour and reward excellence in songwriting and composing. Well done, Stan, from all of us here at Jazz Lineup, and richly deserved. Israeli bassist extraordinaire Avishai Cohen has just released a haunting duets album with young pianist Nitai Hershovitz, who Avishai first heard in a little cafe in a downtown Tel Aviv bar. Barely 20, and despite playing on a cheap keyboard, Hershkovitz reminded Avishai of Chick Corea and Danilo Perez, two of the greats that he had already played with. This is how the duo was formed, and here's a track written by Nashum Hayam and Avishai Cohen, and it's four verses continuation. Thank you. Taken from the CD Duende, that was pianist Nitai Hershkovitz with Avishai Cohen from their newly released duo album, out now on the EMI Blue Note label. You're listening to Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 online, on FM and on digital radio. And now to our concert set recorded in March as part of the annual Steinway Festival held at the Pizza Express in Soho, London. This time we bring you two wonderful pianists, Jeanette Mason and Dina DeRose. Shortly before the performance, we managed to get a few words with both players and started by putting it to Jeanette Mason that this was the first time they played in duet, so it was born at the Pizza Express in London.
It was, in fact, yeah. I came down to see Dina play and the suggestion was put out there that we do this, which is a really good idea.
Great idea.
Yeah.
And we asked Dina DeRose about her reharmonisation of the John Lennon classic Imagine.
Well, it's a song, you know, that's been with me since I was a kid. I used to listen to it on the radio. I think I had the 45. Now I'm showing my age. But anyhow, had the 40, you know, listened to the song, played in wedding bands, played in pop bands, rock bands. Left it aside for a while when I first got into jazz in my early 20s. And then it kept coming back. Everywhere I went, shopping, the gas station, wherever it was, it was there. And yeah. I was getting ready to do some music for my first Max Jazz release. And it was everywhere, and I thought, you know what? It's time to make a jazz arrangement. So, yeah, I just sat with it one day, and, you know, the words, for me, I get things from the story, so it's such a deep story.
And finally, what the method is to make piano duets work.
A similar language to some degree, and inspirational other parts of language, and I think for either side. So, yeah, we a lot of listening, again. Mm. Well, we did talk about flat six chord instead of the four chord. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And as you can hear from the knives and forks being set out, it was a full house at the club that night. And so let's go to the set recorded at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in London, in Soho, in the middle of March this year. Dina DeRose is on the left of the stereo image. The set began with the Wayne Shorter tune, Speak No Evil.
Thank you.
It's a real privilege to work with this wonderful musician over here, and we've been Skyping for a while, and today's the first chance we've had to really play together, so it's very exciting for us. We never know what's going to happen. This is a favourite tune of mine, and I'd always thought it would make a good jazz arrangement, so this is Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. Thank you.
surround me.
Thank you. Miles Davis's Blue and Green, a lyric by the great Meredith D'Ambrosio. A song by a composer from here. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us. There's no countries, it isn't hard to do. And nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Someday you will join us.
Someday soon, the world will live as one. And we do.
Thank you.
The John Lennon song Imagine, played by Jeanette Mason and Dina DeRose, given as part of the Steinway Piano Festival at Pizza Express Dean Street earlier this year. Described as like King Crimson for the iPod generation by Time Out magazine, Troika are a London-based trio who have really been making some waves since their debut album 2 years ago. Guitarist Chris Montagu, Kit Downs on piano, Fender Rhodes and organ, and drummer Joshua Blackmore make up the band, and they've just released their second album and they're on tour as we speak. The new release is called Moxie and it is dynamic and bold throughout, with its textural guitar loops, angular riffs and displaced drum grooves. Have a listen to the opening track, Rarebit. Thank you. taken from the new Troika CD, Moxie. That was Rarebit with Chris Montague on guitar, Kit Downs on piano and Joshua Blackmore on drums. And that composition was by Chris Montague. Look out for them in the listings. They are on tour. Well, that's it for this week. Join me next week for a celebration of the music of Gil Evans. Kevin LeGenre introduces a concert given by the London Jazz Orchestra, conducted by Scott Stroman, on what would have been the 100th birthday of Gil Evans at the Vortex Jazz Club in London. The orchestra play Miles Ahead with Gil's son Miles, and our own Henry Lowther takes up the trumpet solos. That's on next week's Jazz Lineup. Check out Jazz across the BBC all next week, and Radio Scotland's Jazz House goes out from 8 till 10 on Wednesday night, repeated on Sunday at the same time. And you'll hear news on a jazz summer school being held in Glasgow. Till next time from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. Threading through this couple of hours, a concert from the 2009 Barcelona Early Music Festival, the players of Harmonie Universelle, in music by two of the 18th century's more famous contemporaries, Handel and Vivaldi. The Vivaldi concertos are to come, and the players offer us no fewer than four of Handel's magnificent Opus 6 Concerti Grossi. His 12 grand concertos, as he called them, are from 1739, and if by then the Concerto Grosso is a form of concerto writing much loved by Corelli, was getting on a bit, for the English it remained a tradition to be cherished. This is the eighth of Handel's set. Thank you. A Handel Concerto Grosso, the C minor eighth of his Opus 6 set. The players there, Harmonie Universelle, directed from the violin by Florian Deuter. This concert from the 2009 Barcelona Early Music Festival. Well, the players now in Handel's Venetian contemporary Vivaldi, who wrote concertos for just about every instrument under the Venetian sun, but some 200 of them were, I think, for the violin, this being one for two violins and in C major.